Sanctuary. Close your eyes to ponder, imagine, rest, meditate. In the dark, you can think pleasant thoughts, pray on future plans, and remember happier days with pure devotion to the divine. His voice was low and even, nearly a whisper. She almost believed him. She opened her eyes and blinked a few times. "I'm sorry," she said, shaking her head. "I don't think this is going to work." The resentment in her voice was forced, but she didn't know how else to make him stop. This was a mistake. She placed the pillow she was clutching on the couch next to her and stood. She hesitated for a moment, staring at her shoes, and that, too, was a mistake. "Please, Hannah," he said, resting a firm arm on her shoulder and easing her back to the couch. "Just a few more moments. I'm sure we can help you rearrange your thoughts long enough for the..." "No," she interrupted, thrusting her body back to standing. She wasn't tall, nearly 6 inches shorter than him, and probably only half his weight. If he really wanted to, he could persuade her to stay. She refused to meet his gaze. "Come now," he intoned, reeking of condescension. "You know your parents will be disappointed if I report to them that you are unwilling to..." "No," she repeated. This time, her eyes met his. Hannah could easily imagine becoming lost in those amber pools of infinite gentleness, and... "No," she repeated, nearly a full measure louder, and she hoped stronger. This time, she took a step to the left, and then two more, heading for the door. "If you would just..." he started. "Look," she said, her hand firmly grasping the doorknob. "I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I can't do this today." Her head hung, eyes focused on the carpet where it met with the door. "I can't right now. It just doesn't feel right. This is something I'm going to need to figure out on my own. Parental disappointment be damned." She pulled open the door and quickly walked through it, leaving him stunned in her wake. He was new to this post, and he'd never been rejected before. It took him a minute to process, and in that time, she made her escape. Darting down the corridor and out into the day's beleaguered sunshine, she headed for home. She took more transfers on the bus route than usual. Must reduce the chances of being followed. Her paranoia was misplaced, of course. She knew, they knew, where she was going. Where else would I go? 15 minutes after she walked in the door, her phone rang. They were nothing, if not predictable. "Hannah, darling, we heard what happened with Brother Nathaniel today. Are you all right?" Her mother's voice sounded tinny, an effect of talking through the speaker. Her father was listening. "Yes," she lied. "I'm fine. I just need a little bit of time to get my thoughts together before another session, that's all. It's no big deal," she said. She forced a smile, hoping they would hear the truth of her facial muscles and miss the intention in her deflection. "Work has been a bit overwhelming this week. I'm tired. I haven't been sleeping well." "Well, you know," interjected her father, "that's exactly what these sessions are designed to support. Clearing those thoughts and frustrations through divinity is the best way to stay healthy." She knew he believed the rhetoric. They both did. But she didn't. Not anymore. "I get it, Dad. But it was just more gas than I had in the tank today. I'll get back to it, I promise." She lied again. There was a brief silence on the line. Then her mother said, "All right, dear. You sleep tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow at the ceremony." Her mother's voice sounded hopeful. Hannah knew she was looking at her father, checking her verbiage, making sure she said just the right thing, wondering if he had anything to add. It was the family's custom to defer to his interpretation of life. Her mother relied on that as much as she relied on breathing. But Hannah couldn't anymore. She was drowning in his sea of optimism with no real reward for her efforts. Nothing ever came of it, except the redundancy of nothing. "Yes," her father finally said, in uneasy hesitation in his voice. "Things will look better to you tomorrow." "I'm sure it will," Hannah expelled her own tormented sigh. "I promise this ceremony will bring the solace you're seeking," reminded her father. "We'll talk after breakfast," Hannah lied a third time. "Good," said her mother. "Sleep well, dear." Her father remained silent. "Thank you, Mom. Good night." Hannah waited for the click on their end and then disconnected the call. After a fitful night's sleep, which was normal these days, Hannah indulged in a steaming hot shower and a decadent breakfast of waffles, bacon, orange juice, and hot chocolate. She knew these would be the last comforts she would see for quite some time, regardless of the vitality of her plan, so she took full advantage. She placed the carpet's well-worn path from bedroom to bathroom to living room and back to the bedroom as she gathered essentials to take with her. She'd obsessively practiced this ritual for nearly a year, preparing for the inevitable. The day had finally come. She hoped she was ready. After cramming what was left of her life into her duffel and slinging the strap over her shoulder, she stopped at the window for a moment to watch the play of pink and yellow across thin layer of clouds above the ocean. Within seconds, the show was over, and the sun rose on the day she'd been dreading for months. She would be 25 in just 6 short hours. Soon after that, she would be forced to lose her identity and absorb the role her parents expected. It was their legacy, and they were insinuating it onto her just as their parents had done with them. It was supposed to be a gift, a treasure. But it was one of the greatest burdens she would ever carry. She didn't want it, didn't need it, and somehow had to get rid of it. It wouldn't be easy. It was necessary, but only if she wanted to remain sane. Sanity in her teenage years struck her as being overrated. After all, when you're young and have no responsibilities, sanity isn't a requirement. You can do, say, and follow almost anything or anyone and get away with it, with no repercussions. She wished she'd prepared for the eventual shift. Hannah dropped her keys in the dish by the apartment's front door. She pulled the cash out of her wallet and crammed it into her front pocket of her jeans. Then she dropped the wallet into the dish as well. She had no use of her identification and credit cards. "I won't be coming back here." She picked up the picture from the hall table. A tumble of golden retriever puppies smiled back at her. Quickly, she turned the frame over and pulled out the backing. She removed the hidden photo and flipped it over. The soft gray eyes of her most devoted friend in the world looked back at her. She ran her fingers over his face for a moment, as if she were stroking his gentle beard. Then, blinking a tear away, she flipped it over and read the address and phone number written on the back. She put the frame with the generic puppy photo back on the table and turned the photo of him into her coat pocket. She looked back for a moment, inhaled her courage, and walked out the door. Vibrating with the fear of being caught, she walked 4 blocks to the drugstore. She bought a few protein bars, some water, and a pay-as-you-go phone. She couldn't bring her cell or her computer. Probability that they installed tracking software? 100%. Oppression works best when courted with control, and her family had a long-standing affair with both. She took a bus to the train station and bought her ticket from the unmanned kiosk. Her face had been digitally captured with a time stamp she knew, but It would take a few hours for them to get the permissions necessary to find her. She hoped it would be enough of a head start. After a train, two bus transfers, and a tenuous 30-mile ride with a trucker she didn't completely trust, Hannah stood bone-weary at the foot of a 2-mile-long dirt road. Tenacity purred that safety was just a short hike away. She pulled out the photo and looked again at her salvation. She knew if she asked, he wouldn't turn her away. She tucked the photo back into her pocket and started walking. The sun kissed the horizon through the canopy of trees in a precision of dark red and purple as she reached the doorway. She dropped her duffel to the slate porch and inhaled slowly, capturing whatever courage remained. With the focus of a cormorant fishing for its last meal, she pushed her finger against the smooth surface of the buzzer. One long, two short, one long. She held her breath as silence wrapped around her in a moment of pregnant urgency. The slide of the deadbolt forced the air from her lungs as the door opened to reveal a man nearly twice her size, his eyes gently confident, a jet-black Tibetan Mastiff panting at his side. "Sanctuary," Hannah whispered as her 5-foot-2-inch frame rattled with exhaustion. "I knew this day would come," his voice thundered gently. He opened his arms and she fell inside them, a deluge of tears finally feeling safe enough to show themselves. "You're cutting it pretty close," he remarked. "When is your ceremony?" 3 hours ago," she muttered. "Then that doesn't leave us a lot of time," he said cautiously. "Sorry." "It'll be okay." He picked up her duffel and locked the deadbolt behind them. "You shouldn't have come, David." Hannah hugged herself and took 2 steps back from the door. David took a step inside the threshold, but no further. The Mastiff held him fast with a low growl. "But you missed your ceremony. Our parents are frantic." His eyes were wide, and worry painted his face. "You can't just walk away like this, without a word?" "I won't go back there. That place is dangerous. I won't be brainwashed like our parents, like you. I won't allow my children to suffer always living in fear like I did." Hannah crossed the room, putting distance and the large oak dining table between them. "Don't be difficult, Hannah." David's voice shifted from sympathetic to harsh in the blink of an eye. "You can't stay here with this monster." "Watch yourself, Deva." She glanced over at Marcus. He returned her gaze with a warmth she only ever found in his eyes. "I've asked Marcus for sanctuary, and I refuse to disrespect his kindness. You'd better leave before things become painful." David took another step forward. "Mom and Dad are on the way," he said with a flat edge. "I told them where to find you. I only came here first to try to stop you from doing something you'll regret." "That was a mistake," she whispered, pulling a heavy chair from the table and dropping into it. "You forced my options, David." Hannah nodded to Marcus. He trilled gently. The sound was almost imperceptible. At the signal, the dog slowly began to herd David into a corner. Hannah offered him a sorrowful smile. "Last chance, David. Leave." "I'm not going without you," he howled, backing away from the Mastiff. "I won't have you throw away everything that's good in this world for a moment of what?" He shot a fierce stare at Marcus. "A flimsy excuse for devotion?" His voice cracked at the last comment, and he knew in that instant he'd gone too far. Hannah got up from the table and walked to stand behind the dog. She offered David a last gentle smile. "I'm sorry, brother." Then she turned away, taking the stairs to the basement. Marcus trilled again, and the dog let loose a low growl, threatening just enough to get David to move. Marcus followed behind, his powerful silence reinforcing the animal's will. David stumbled down the stairs, his words flinging through the air like obstinate arrows. None connected with their target. "Hannah, wait! I thought you wanted peace. I thought you wanted a gentle life. You're not going to find that here. You need to come home, Hannah. Take the ceremony. Things will be better. You'll see." Hannah remained silent until they reached the bottom of the stairs. She stepped aside to allow David to pass as Marcus and the Mastiff ushered him into the next room. "I've never been a fan of repression disguised as peace. I'm sorry you fell for it." She drew the heavy door closed and removed the iron key from its lock. "Now might be a good time to search your soul for repentance." She turned away from his muffled pleas and followed Marcus into an adjoining room. A Mastiff remained on guard. "Your parents will be here soon," said Marcus as he touched a torch hanging on the wall to the sunken fire pit in the center of the room. "Most likely, they will have others with them. Now, it's up to you." They sat opposite each other on the floor, a small fire burning between them. To Hannah's left sat a thick candle of myrrh, its flame releasing healing warmth. To her right, a flat iron plate held a thin fillet taken from just above David's third rib. It shimmered with a savage glow in the dim light. Marcus poured wine, drawn from David's blood, into a wooden chalice, a twisted claw carved into the stem. He set it to the side. A Mastiff lounged nearby. Hannah closed her eyes and collected her spirit. She could hear Marcus's heartbeat match its rhythm with her own. Their vibration hung in the air, modulating with each breath. Hannah opened her eyes and gazed at Marcus for a long moment, each enhancing the power of the other. She took a deep breath and began the incantation. As she recited the memorized ancient Latin text, Marcus repeated each line in English. "I beseech you with these words, untie the bonds of fate. I seek freedom without fear, intelligence with the power of apathy, protection from the counterfeit of others." Hannah heard them breach the front door, the sound of shattering glass and the panicked pleas from her mother mixed with her father's voice calling out the holy rite. Hannah did not waver, but continued with the ritual. "I defend all who ask for sanctuary. I deny those who attempt to taint my resolve. I ignore the seduction of false prophecy. I reject all who manipulate the truth." The flock was growing closer now. She could hear them on the stairs. The dog rose to a protective posture, placing himself between the fire circle and the door, standing at the ready, just to Hannah's right side. "Beyond blood and bone, above heart and mind, by this sacrifice I pledge myself to your service, guiding those who come next, defending you until my last breath of life." Hannah sprinkled the fillet with a small measure of copper dust and added it to the fire. A blaze of blue flame erupted from the offering with a sizzle that made the dog take notice. Marcus drank from the goblet and passed it to Hannah. She took a sip as well and spoke the vow again, ignoring the commotion just outside the door. "Beyond blood and bone, above heart and mind, I pledge myself to your service." In the next moment, Hannah's parents burst through the door with two others, holy thugs on a faithful mission. Her mother held a large cast iron cross fashioned from a blacksmith's nails and held it toward her daughter's form. But the deed had been done. Hannah was now consecrated. She stood to face them, her visage void of emotion. "Hannah," her mother cried, "what have you done?" She fell to her husband's arms as he began to pray. "Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen." "Your foolish prayers will do you no good," bellowed Marcus as he rose to stand before them. The mastiff circled around to his other side. "Hannah has been anointed and is now promised to the one true path. You have no power here." In the distraction, Hannah tossed a generous handful of powder in the faces of her would-be liberators. That was closely followed by the torch none of them noticed in her hand. There was a bright flash that licked the ceiling, lightly scorching the timbers. The intruder spontaneously combusted, falling to ash in four tiny piles. Hannah scruffed the dog's ears and spilled the small bucket of water which sat next to the door onto the fire pit, dousing the flames completely. She shared a moment of silence with Marcus, their faces vacant of compassion for her foolish family. Finally, he broke their connection with a gentle smile. "I'll check on supper." Hannah gathered a broom from the hallway and swept the ashes of her tyrants and their companions into the fire pit. She gazed at the pile of gray for quite some time and imagined how soundly she would sleep tonight, knowing that she eliminated her life's greatest threat. At last, she closed the door behind her and snuffed the torch on the wall. At the top of the stairs, she was greeted by the mastiff's exuberance. He knew he was getting spare ribs for supper.